Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Means that the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft goes to the Detroit Pistons.
Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft? Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft?
Basketball!
Select Isaiah Stewart.
The Detroit Pistons select Killian Hayes.
Sadiq, that was absolutely sensational.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
From long range. Oh! Yes! Yes!
Detroit basketball!
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe podcast network. I'm your host, Mike Angolano, and joining me for the first time in a long time are both of my actual co-hosts, Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia. Fellas, how are we doing on schedule release Wednesday? For some reason, this has turned into a holiday. That's just the bone dry nature of the NBA right now.
I'm thrilled, Mike, because this means that we can put our blood feud behind us. We can move on from the ugly strife that has ripped this podcast apart over the last couple months, because we finally have something to talk about other than made-up drama. We actually have this NBA schedule released. Hooray! And yeah, you're right. It is a little bit of a holiday at this point. I don't really know why, because we're still months away from the games actually being played. And especially this year, where there still might be some moves to be made before this offseason is fully finished. But yes, it's great to have all three of us on the podcast, and it's great to have a little something to talk about with this NBA schedule release.
Stoked. I'm stoked to be here, ready to talk about the schedule. I think it's going to be a fun conversation. It is a holiday for maniacs like ourselves. At least it is to me. It's been all I can think about since it came out at 3 o'clock. I'm so ready for NBA basketball to be back. So excited. I'm ready for football. I'm ready for the NFL. I'm ready for college football. But there is something about the NBA, even though it feels like it just ended, there's something about it almost being back to where I'm very excited. I mean, the first preseason game, beginning of October. So we're you know, month and a couple weeks out from preseason, or a month out from training camp and media day. So I am so ready, and I'm excited to talk about the schedule for the Detroit Pistons and everything that lies within it.
Yeah, I said, I don't know why it's a holiday so derisively, but here I am sitting with two pages of notes on my computer. So I guess I'm in no position to talk, huh?
You're a dedicated craftsman, we'll put it at that, because everybody has been so excited for the schedule to be released. And I don't necessarily get it, why everyone's so excited. Like Shams and Mark Stein just slowly dripping out the MLK Day game, or, you know, two out of the five or six NBA Christmas Day matchups. It's like, are we this starved for content?
Yes, absolutely. Give us some slop. We need the slop.
Baseball, Mike, season is fun.
I know. I am a big fan of the slop.
So, Mike, you love the slop more than anyone else. I'm shocked to hear you say this. Mike has been in the Palace Pistons group chat for months now, just begging for some trade slop, for some Woj slop, for some Shams slop to hit the Twitter sphere. So now that you finally have a little slop in your trough, Mike, you're turning up your nose at it. I'm kind of shocked, I have to say.
There's varying degrees of slop.
Well, I think we've said the word slop more than any podcast ever has ever said it, other than maybe some very pig Cedric,
Charlotte's Web podcast.
Very much so. But guys, I mean, yeah, this schedule, the Pistons, let's like get into it. The Pistons start with four very winnable games in their first 10. They play the Magic, the Knicks, the Pacers, and the Wizards in their first four. But then they go in their next six games against the Hawks twice, the Warriors, the Bucks twice, and the Cavaliers. So let's just start off with that. In that first 10 games, and don't forget, they have a couple of back-to-backs in that stretch as well. Actually, not a couple. They have three back-to-backs coming in their first 10 games. Looking at that, how are you guys thinking about this opening stretch to the season for Detroit?
Jasper, you still have hosting duties on the brain, driving this conversation. Well, you know, maybe I remember us talking about the Pistons schedule last year at around the same time and thinking, how the hell did they end up with such a difficult schedule? So to see it kind of be similar and end a little bit softer is nice. I honestly don't have too much analysis, because like you said, there are still moves that are going to be made around the league, including one giant one that we're all waiting to have happen. So I guess, Aaron, do you have any thoughts on the beginning of the season schedule?
I think, you know, for Detroit to come out with four games that are, to be quite honest, very winnable to start the year, starting with the Orlando Magic on October 19th, it's good for them, because this is a team that's probably going to have some growing pains out of the gate, just like they did last year. And there's going to be an adjustment period of they're no longer being Jeremy Grant. You're integrating a new guard in Jaden Ivey. You have, I mean, more than likely another new starter, whether it's Isaiah Livers, you know, Kelly Olynyk, Jalen Duren, early as well. Like, you're going to have two new starters to go along with Cade, Sadiq Bey, and Isaiah Stewart. There's going to be some growing pains. It's going to take some time to figure out who gels best together. So to get those four games out of the gate, you know, you start with the Magic, which I think is a great first game, by the way. I think them having the last two number one picks face off is a really nice touch to start the year. And then New York, who may or may not have Donovan Mitchell by that point in time, and then Indiana and Washington. Those are games that Detroit can compete in, can win. So I like that. It gets a lot tougher for them right after that, because they play Atlanta a pair of times. They got Golden State, Milwaukee for a pair of games, and then Cleveland. So the first four, good. The next six, tough. It's going to be that way throughout the year for them, though. I just think, you know, with the NBA really becoming – where there's not really a night off, there's no team that you can just chalk up as a win. It's gotten a lot more competitive. The play-in element has added a little bit more competitiveness to the schedule in that regard. It's going to be tough for Detroit, but getting those first four games where the competition isn't as tough as it's going to be the next six, that is good for Detroit. It'll be good for them as well to go from a little bit of a grace period to start the year into a tough schedule, into some tough matchups right away, so they can feel what it's like to get knocked in the jaw, knocked on the ground a little bit, and have to find a way to get back up. Or they're going to find themselves at, you know, 2-8, 2-10, 3-10. You know, they're going to look something like that, and it's going to be like, okay, it's going to be another one of those seasons. So I think the schedule for Detroit is how you'd probably want it to be. You get that early first couple of games where you should be able to have a little bit more room for error, make a few more mistakes, and still be in those games against lower level teams. But then you're going to have to turn it up a little bit. You're going to have to figure out how to gel at a little bit of a higher level, because you're not going to have a ton of time before you start seeing those contender level teams like Golden State, like Milwaukee, and those other playoff teams like Atlanta and Cleveland. So I do like the start of the season for Detroit. I think it also helps that they're going to get that home game off the bat right away at home against Orlando. It should be a fun matchup. I think there's going to be some intrigue in Paolo versus Cade. Obviously, getting to see Jaden Ivey for the first time is going to be exciting for the city of Detroit. So it's going to be a fun environment that should hopefully, put Detroit on a good note to start the year in front of a big crowd that I think a lot of us would anticipate. And it's going to be a fun way to start the season, but it's going to get tough for them right away.
So, guys, I'm going to put the line for the Pistons' first 10 games at 3.5. Are you taking the over or the under?
No, I'd say they're up. They'll probably win 3. I mean, the first 4 are all winnable games, but those next 6 are brutal. You know, maybe they take one from Atlanta. Maybe they beat Cleveland on the back end. But Milwaukee has Detroit's number every year. I don't think you're going into Golden State. Or actually, they might be hosting Golden State. I don't think you're beating Golden State either way. Maybe they get 4 or 5, but a lot easier for me to say the under on that than to say the over.
I'm going to say the over. I'll say 4. I think they're going to take one from Atlanta. And, you know, I would not be surprised if they played Cleveland really tough and they beat the Cavs. I don't know why, but the Cavs had a lot of trouble with the Pistons last year. And, you know, it might help to have some of these other teams' schedules up as well to see if they're coming off a second game of a back-to-back. But I'll take the over. I'll take the optimistic over. I mean, you get Atlanta twice at home. I thought that was a home and away, but it's not. It's actually Atlanta back-to-back at home. It's kind of weird. And then Orlando, Indiana, Washington, New York are winnable. I mean, I don't know if they have Donovan Mitchell, that will certainly factor in. But those are still winnable games that with the roster you have, you should be able to stick around and contend and be up there to win. Golden State and Milwaukee back-to-back is the definition of brutal. And then you get the Bucks again, which is another level of brutal. But I will take the over. I'll take the optimistic over at 4.
I just think I've been optimistic about this team and how they'll fare. And I remember watching them last year at the beginning of the season, and they were just – and I get that Cade Cunningham was out to start the year, but they were 4 or 5 steps behind their opponents. There's definitely a world where they can go 4-6, 500. Like, it's not completely unrealistic. I think it's going to take time for them to kind of find their footing. And it's also not like the first 4 games are all chalked up wins. Like, Orlando is going to be really fun this year, and they've got some legitimate pieces. Like, year 2, Franz Wagner, Paolo. I really am a fan of Wendell Carter Jr. They're getting Jonathan Isaac back, Markel Fultz, Jalen Suggs year 2. Like, that's not – you can't just chalk up a win against Orlando because you're kind of still in the same boat as them. You're young and developing with a core that's not fully set in stone yet. And then Washington, that's a team that every year, no matter how bad they really are, they still try to compete for a playoff spot. So they're not going to be a walk in the park either. And then, you know, as we talked about those, you know, last 6 games, where you see Milwaukee and Atlanta twice apiece, Golden State, Cleveland, that's not an easy schedule either. So, yeah, there's a world where the Pistons come out and
sure
shock the world, but I'm not anticipating it.
And there's no teams that are like a massive walk in the park.
Nope.
When you get right down to it, there are 0 teams that are a walk in the park. Even the Oklahoma City Thunder with Chet are going to be more potent. What is the Pistons over under for the season? What is Vegas?
I believe it's set that at 28.5, yes, or 27.5, one of the two.
It's one of the two.
I believe it's 28.5.
Okay. Is anybody going to be making a bet on that?
Oh man, I know this year I don't feel confident at all because I have them at 28 wins, somewhere between that 28 to 31 wins. But I'd be fascinated to see what our sponsors this week, Bet Online, have their line at, because I really do want to find something a little bit more enticing for me. I'm not quite sure what they have them at. Do you know, Mike?
You know, there's no need to feud when you're lobbing dimes to me like that.
Well, I was trying with the over-under on the first 10 games thing, but I felt like I was just throwing, you know, tomatoes into a brick wall with that one. That did not go as planned. That's a little more behind the scenes for any of our listeners.
Yeah.
Trying to throw Mike just lobs and him just throwing them, flubbing them into the third row, like a trampoline jumper. Yeah, like all those guys that come out in the middle of halftime. Anyway.
Right. Well, regardless, our sponsor this week, and as it has been for every week, is BetOnline. And BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and line. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELEAV50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's BELEAV50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with BetOnline. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yeah, and guys, look, I said I have the Pistons at 28 wins, and a big reason for that is looking ahead in the schedule. Mike, you kind of touched on it a little bit. They do get OKC with their 11th game, but then they have to face Boston a couple more times. They have to face the Knicks again. They have to get an automatic win against the Raptors, because even more so than the Cavs, the Pistons have the Raptors' number. And then the Pistons go on their 6-game West Coast trip. They got both LA teams. They got Denver, which is going to be reloaded. They've got Phoenix, which is still a title contender. Then they've got Cleveland again, New York for a third time, Dallas, Memphis, and Miami. So there's a really good chance that the Pistons are like 2 weeks into December with somewhere between a 6-20 and 8-18 record. And things are not getting easier afterwards. Yeah, they've got a couple winnable games. I mean, they've got New Orleans, Charlotte, Sacramento, Utah, Orlando. But the chances of Detroit entering January with a realistic shot at the playoffs are slim, in my opinion. Looking ahead in that schedule, do you guys see really any chance for Detroit to enter into the new year having a good shot, still saying like, oh, we can make the play-in?
I the way I look at Detroit, and I actually talked about this a little bit earlier today with another Palace of Pistons staff member, Donovan Collins. But the way I look at it is this team's ceiling to me is a play-in team. A lot of things would have to go right for them to get to the 9 or 10 seed. And I don't think their schedule is very favorable to start the year. I think it gets a little bit easier in the second half, to be honest with you, especially those, you know, last couple weeks or so, the month of April, really, you know, March and April, I guess. So I don't think this is a team that's going to be necessarily super close to 500 going into 2023, but obviously so much can happen still. Rosters can change, injuries can occur, but if everything kind of stays the way it is and everyone's healthy, I just think it's going to be tough for Detroit. Look, I think the East is pretty freaking good this year. I think there's at least nine or 10 teams that you can for sure say are going to be better than Detroit, unless they just completely lay an egg. And I mean, the Pistons have that West Coast road trip in November. So it's in their first couple months of the season. So it's not going to be easy to go through that. I think when you look at where they're going to be by the time they get to the ball dropping into 2023, they're going to be, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're 10 games out of 500 by that point. I'm just not super high on their record this year. And that those first couple months of the season are not easy for them whatsoever.
We're going to be doing a lot of brake pumping, because just going onto Twitter, which in and of itself is a terrible time investment for anything, and seeing the Pistons fans thinking that being at 500 is realistic, you're just setting yourself up to be massively disappointed. That month of November is brutal. That's a brutal schedule with your West Coast swing with Sacramento, who's going to be doing everything they can to win every game. Denver, Jasper, like you said, is going to have Jamal Murray back and they're going to be healthy. The Utah Jazz may or may not have Donovan Mitchell. And that's always a tough arena to play in. Phoenix is still a championship contender, like you said. And then they turn around and have to play the Cavs, who are going to be gunning for a playoff spot too. So there's just that whole month of November is horrifically bad. And they'll probably win a couple weird games like they did last year. Like they'll beat Boston or something bizarre, or they'll beat the Raptors because that's what they do. But that's a brutal month of November. That does not get any easier heading into December with just playoff team after playoff team after playoff team. So I would expect them to be 10 games out from 500. I would expect them to still be in single digit wins, I think, because this team is even younger than they were last year. They got younger. Did they get better? You know, in the long run, they got better. And maybe in the short term, they'll have spurts of being better at some things. But this is still an incredibly young team that is going to be going up against playoff hopeful after playoff hopeful every night. And then the West Coast swing in November is nice to get out of the way, but that's going to make for a very difficult month.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, you touched on it, that November is tough. I don't even think that's the toughest stretch of the season for Detroit. I think that first 2 weeks of January, even if they have overperformed to that point, even if they are somehow 500, I think that's where things could very easily go off the rails, because they go on the road for 5 games against the Bulls, Wolves, Blazers, Jeremy Grant revenge game, the Warriors, and the Spurs. And then starting with that Spurs game, that kicks off a stretch where they play 4 games in 6 days, alternating between home and aways with that game against San Antonio. They got two matchups against Philly, and then they finish up with Minnesota again at home. So if they can even get 3 wins out of those 8 games, I would be like genuinely impressed. And that's like even counting the Spurs as an automatic win. So the schedule, especially for the first half of the season, I mean, if they are able to withstand one test, great, here comes another one. It's going to be continuous, especially playing in the East this year. I mean, I'm just looking up and down the schedule, and there are no guarantees. There's no guarantees whatsoever. And even more so than that, you know, we always talk about back-to-backs. Those are always really important, especially for young teams that aren't maybe as well-equipped to deal with them. Pistons have 12 back-to-backs this year. 3 of those come in the opening 10 games, and they'll have done their 6th back-to-back by December 7th. So maybe front-loading those back-to-backs is a good thing because they've got those young legs. You know, they can remain springy instead of kind of breaking down as the end of the year. But on the other hand, then you can also look at it and say, well, look, teams with more veteran players don't have to worry as much about rest and wear and tear during those early months. And that could allow them to have more impact and potentially withstand the Pistons' youth early on in the season. So, man, it's for any good thing you can look at, it's hard not to turn around and then say, yeah, but this is going to be really difficult for Detroit to withstand as well.
So with the month of January, Jasper, it is tough, but the Pistons do have their nationally televised game on TNT Tuesday, January 10th against the 76ers. Of course, that's on the road in Philadelphia. They also have a game in Paris on Thursday, January 19th against the Bulls. Should be interesting. Would it be nice if Killian Hayes was good, and would have been even better if both him and Sekou Doumbouya were good and on the team. But that's for past podcasts to talk about. Last year, the Pistons only had 1 game on NBA TV, correct, against the Houston Rockets.
Or 1 game on ESPN.
Or I'm sorry, 1 game on ESPN.
Yeah.
Against
I think they had the same amount of NBA TV games. I think they had 3.
Yeah, they're good for 3 or 4 on NBA TV every year, it seems like. But not surprised there's only 1 game on TNT. And then they're one of four teams with no games on ESPN or ABC this year, which it's not shocking.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's certainly disappointing. Let's be real. Like, it's hard not to look at this schedule and say, dang, no ESPN or ABC games. That sucks. The only game you do get that's really nationally televised is on the front end of a back-to-back against a team that very well could win the title this year in Philadelphia. Yeah, it's hard not to get a little frustrated about that, but I do think there are some other highlights to look forward to. I mean, look, just in the first 10 games, you get the matchup of number one picks in Cade and Paolo, as well as just really an intriguing matchup against Orlando, no matter what, for a lot of reasons. And then you also get to see how Cade in year two and rookie Jaden Ivey fare against really tough backcourts in Atlanta, Golden State, and Milwaukee. And those are all different challenges for different reasons. With Atlanta, you have that mix of DeJounte Murray's great two-way game and Trey Young's just outstanding offensive play. You have, obviously, Golden State's backcourt. And then you have Milwaukee, which has Jrue Holiday, who is one of, if not the toughest perimeter defenders in the entire NBA. So I think even if Detroit doesn't get off to a really great start, even if things kind of fall apart record-wise early on in the season, I think there are a lot of things to look forward to in terms of seeing what the players you have in this roster, what they have to offer, if they can overperform, how much of a leap they've taken, and where they stand moving forward with this core. Because let's be real, this is yet another developmental year for this franchise.
And that's really the key, is developmental year. I think there are some fans who feel like it's play in or bust. And I just don't feel like the team is close. Well, they're close to that, but like Aaron said, a lot would have to go right for them to be in that position of making the play-in tournament. A lot would have to go right for the Pistons. A sizable number of things would have to go wrong for other teams in that range, that play-in range, for Detroit to sneak in.
I think the other thing on to build on that too is, you know, I know we're talking about the schedule in itself, but no matter which way the schedule got shook for Detroit this year, it was always going to, and it's going to be a developmental year for this team. I mean, guys, you know, we're a couple weeks out of, or a month or whatever out of training camp, and we're looking at a starting four of Isaiah Livers or Kelly Olynyk or Isaiah Stewart next to Nerlens Noel. Like, this is not a team that's built to go out and win 45, 50 games. Like, this is a team that's built to maximize opportunity for the young guys on the roster to have the ball in their hands, to have the system built around them, to have the focus on them. Like, obviously, the opportunities are going to be there for Cade Cunningham and Sadiq Bey at the top of the pecking order. And the Pistons didn't go out this summer and try to add a couple veterans that were going to be the third and fourth options, or compete with Sadiq Bey to be the number two option. Like, the third option right now is penciled in as, I guess, Jaden Ivey. And then your fourth option is Isaiah Stewart. Like, this is not a team that is built to go out and win 50 games. Now, if they go out and Cade Cunningham takes a tremendous leap and other teams are dealing with injuries, they just aren't, you know, they aren't playing at a great level like they're anticipated to, maybe some things swing Detroit's way and they're more competitive. But Detroit is not going into this season. They didn't go into it building a team that's expected to make the playoffs, that's expected to even be 500. We just went through their schedule and said, yeah, they're going to be more than likely 10 plus games out of 500 just by January. And their schedule to start off January, to start off 2023, isn't easy. Like, they're going to be in the middle of a 6-game road trip where 4 or 5 of the games are out west. Like, it's not going to be easy for them because of the schedule, but it wasn't going to be easy for them no matter what, because this team is built to be a developmental team again. It's going to be a year where we see how much Cade Cunningham has grown. Is Sadiq Bey a capable number two guy for 82 games? And who steps up? Where's Jaden Ivey? What type of role is Killian Hayes capable of? How much has Isaiah Stewart expanded his game? And then some of these other question marks, like, is Isaiah Livers really capable of playing a full season and being a high-level role player? What's Jalen Duren in year one as, what, the youngest player in the entire league? Not going to be 19 until November. And then, yeah, you have a couple nice veterans to have. Like, Alec Burks is a good role player. Nerlens Noel is a good defensive presence to have. Marvin Bagley's still there. He's going to have a role. But even so, this team doesn't have enough high-end talent to be looking at it like, yeah, we're going to be a playoff team. Yeah, we might only be a 60, but we're going to win 50 games, 45, 50 games this year. It wasn't going to be that way. And the Pistons made that clear when they traded Jeremy Grant away. You know, if they would have kept Jeremy Grant and, you know, would have committed to putting together a better team to put a better record on the board this year, this would be a different discussion. But they made the moves that they did this offseason, and they didn't make the moves that they didn't make on purpose. They didn't go out and purposely sign a power forward that could step in and replace Jeremy Grant, because they're going to be trying different things. You're going to see Isaiah Livers at the four. You're going to see Isaiah Stewart at the four. You're going to see Stewart and Noel, Stewart and Bagley, Olynyk and Noel. Like, you're going to see these different combinations that it's not going to be pretty right away. It might not work at all. It might end up becoming something by the end of the season. This is a developmental year. No matter how you slice up the schedule, no matter how many games we talk about or stretches we talk about that are perhaps favorable, unfavorable, it doesn't matter. Like, we could talk about the schedule for an hour and a half, and no matter how we talk about it, I think we're all going to be saying this team's probably topping out at 32 to 35 wins if a lot went right for them.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think for me, Aaron, when I look at the schedule, it's less of like a, oh, where are they winning all these games? It's more of a, where are these tests and what are we going to see from them in these certain stretches? For example, if they are in a position where they're close to the play-in somehow in the end of the year, well, 7 of their last 10 games come on the road. So whether they're in a position to make a play-in or they're out of it altogether, that's an interesting stretch to finish your season with, being on the road for as much as they are. These are just going to be a lot of different tests, and seeing how the team responds, especially the young players that are making up the core of this team moving forward, I think that's really what you have to take away from looking at the schedule right now.
Right. I mean, we were just saying that if, you know, I mean, their over-under is 28.5, and Jasper wouldn't go over that. If they win 30 games this year, this is a successful season. No.
Well, I'm seeing people saying that they're going to win 50. I mean,
come on.
I get being a fan, but it's just, you have to
out them.
Some realistic.
Yeah, come on. You gotta drop those handles, bro. But come on, that's ridiculous. 50 wins?
You're setting unrealistic expectations when this team is going to struggle to get to 30 wins. And that's just the reality. And it's not a problem. That's the point I want to make. It's not a problem that they're going to struggle to get there. They're not built to do it. They're going to be playing players that aren't going to be in the league or next year, or wouldn't be in the league if they weren't on the Pistons. Like, it's just what it is. Like, this is a team that's setting up to have a chance at another top pick in a draft that's going to feature some pretty high-level prospects in Scoot Henderson and Victor Wabanawa and Derek Whitehead. And there's plenty of prospects that people are already talking about. And I'm sure the Pistons would like another shot at them, because, as I've said before, I don't feel that they have enough high-level talent on this roster. Another top five pick gives them another potential guy. So it's okay that they're not built to win. And you know what? At the end of the day, a 10 seed and a couple games in the play-in tournament that you lose isn't really going to matter in the grand scheme of things. It probably would be better for them to just lose and get a legitimate piece to add to your core moving into next year. Now, it gets repetitive and it gets annoying. And at some point there has to be that growth. But as I've stated before, I think that that's not for the 2022-23 season. I think that that time where you're actually looking for Detroit to potentially be a play-in, a playoff team, is 23-24, when you have Cade Cunningham going into year two, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, potentially into their second contracts, Jaden Ivey into year two, and another offseason where the Pistons are going to have a ton of cap space to work with. So that's where I'm at on the entirety of it. I think people setting super high expectations. Look, I was one of the people that did it last year. I said, and not that, you know, me saying it matters, but I was one of the people saying, like, yeah, I think that team can be sneaky good. They could be a play-in team, you know, if everything goes right for them. And obviously they were absolutely abysmal. Now, some things happened that I wasn't anticipating happening with injuries to Cunningham and Grant, but in general, it's not going to be a winning year for the Pistons, and that's okay. We need to stop setting unrealistic expectations for these super young teams that are going to be playing a bunch of guys that are under the age of 23 and don't have all-star level talent across the roster like a lot of the teams in the NBA do, because there's a lot more parity now where there's a lot of more teams trying to compete, spending money to compete. And I just think the talent level in general is in a really good spot right now. So that's where I'm at on it.
I look forward to us debating the Pistons' chances to win the in-season tournament. We just have created a whole new level of content that we can have in the middle of whatever month the tournament happens, of the Pistons' chance at winning the in-season tournament.
Is that, yeah, is that this year? No, that's not until next year, right?
No. Yeah, it would be next year. Yeah.
Well, I guess until then, we got Summer League, right?
Yeah, the Pistons 2023 Summer League team is going to be insane. I'm telling you.
All right, folks, you heard it here first. Put your
futures. Heard it here first because no one else has said it.
Nobody else has thought about Summer League. But Jasper brought it up, so it's not on me this time.
Aaron, I agree with everything you're saying. Like, that's exactly it. Looking at the schedule, it's nothing more than an exercise in looking at, like, where are the tests? Where are the places for growth? What are the stretches that could be fun? What are the stretches that could be challenging? But if you start looking at it and saying, oh, here's how we can get to 40 wins, I'm afraid you're doing this all wrong, because the path to that is just, it's not realistic at this point in time. Just isn't. So, if you are somebody that's looking at the schedule or listening to us and saying, oh, all this negativity, all this doom and gloom, that's not it at all. I think we're actually all very excited. And I laid out a lot, I think, of good reasons, even though those first 10 games, to be interested in what the Pistons are doing, even if they're not starting off strong. Yeah, I mean, that's really all I have on the schedule for this week. I don't know about you guys, if there's anything else that you noticed looking through these games. You know, any stretches, any matchups that particularly interest you, but that's it kind of for me.
Yeah. I'm not trying to talk an hour and a half about a schedule where, like I just said, no matter how you shake it, 30 or so wins, if things go right for Detroit.
And 30 wins would be a success.
Yeah.
And like last year, it's going to be the watching of the on-court product. Will the on-court product win a lot of games? Probably not, but will it be fun? Yes, watching Cade Cunningham develop will be fun. Watching him play alongside Jaden Ivey will be fun. And, you know, seeing Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey, who will be, you know, working to secure bigger dollars on their next contract, watch them play a lot harder or differently or whatnot to secure that bag, is going to matter too. So the on-court product will be something to watch.
Mike, I'll just say this. I think even when you say like 30 wins will be a success, I don't even look at wins and losses as like a success when it comes to this season. I look at growth of individual players. Like Aaron was saying,
that's
like,
right.
What is Isaiah Livers? What is Marvin Bagley? Where is Cade Cunningham going to in terms of his ceiling? What is Jaden Ivey going to be? I think that's really more like the success. Is Killian Hayes, you know, that bench guard for the future? That's really, to me, what a successful season will look like.
Does he make it to the game in Paris?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I mean, okay. On the plane, yeah. Yeah. Okay. As long as he doesn't develop like blood clots in the first couple of months of the season, Killian Hayes, who knows? So, I don't think so. I don't think so by that Paris game. No.
Okay. Okay. Guys, any other thoughts on the Christmas slate, on the Pistons slate?
I'm good. I'm
Is
good.
Is anybody else excited. Annoyed that we get Lakers Warriors opening night?
I think I saw 42 games for Golden State are nationally broadcasted.
That's fine. Season. That's fine. At least they're fun to watch. So I can't fault them for that. Better than the Knicks. Better than the Knicks. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. So,
yep.
Okay. Fellas, it's been a joy to have everybody back here and talking about actual basketball things and not Aaron and I trying desperately to wedge Mitch McGarry and Steve Blake into the conversation. We actually have had stuff to talk about. It's pretty shocking that training camp is only about a month away, but we hope that you'll all stick with us for another exciting season of Detroit basketball. So for my co-hosts, Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia, I am Mike Anguilano. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. We'll see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.